The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making your home great, FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. On the radio for an hour live and then a best of hour. We're shortening the show, at least our obligation to the show. I'm talking to Brock now. But, you know, stay for the archived hour because it's a good show. So we wouldn't pick it otherwise. So here in the studios, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, and we can't hear Brock. So if you could turn on his microphone, that'd be wonderful. We got the hour for you. Talk to me about what we talked about off the air, the order of operations. I know order of operations because I used to teach fourth grade math.
Right.
And that's, you know, PEMDAS, parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, left, right, addition, subtraction, left, right. No?
Not quite the same. Oh, is my mic on now?
His mic is not on. Please turn it on.
Check. Is that a little better?
Oh, yeah, you're on now.
There we are.
All Thank right. you.
You know, it depends on the project. There is always an order of operation. And, you know, a lot of homeowners, when they're taking on larger projects, like putting a big porch on the back of the house,
yeah,
a three seasons or a four seasons room, attic renovations, if they want to go up there and convert their attic space into living space.
Yeah.
There is an order of operations. And depending on the project, you don't want to get out of order. If you get out of order, it can cause you additional time. It can cause you a lot of additional money. So a good example of that, for example, you know, if we're talking about renovating your attic, turning a portion of your attic into living space.
Yes.
Right. Step one is finding somebody in design, whether or not whether that be a general contractor and or an architect that's able to get up there and work up the plans, where the interior walls are going to be, where the plumbing's going to be, where the electrical's going to be. So that's normally step one. Then you go to the city and you get those plans confirmed. This is what we're wanting to do. You pull building permits.
Right.
Typically, a building permit will include plumbing, electrical, framing, and insulation. You just add all four
right
onto the building permit. And then you do them all one at a time. Now, when it comes to order of operations, typically it's framing. Once the framing is completed, then you can do the electrical and the plumbing.
Sure. Makes sense.
Sometimes you can also do the plumbing first, but most of the time the framing needs to be done in order to do the electrical. That's where you're mounting your boxes and running your wires.
Sure.
Stuff like that. And insulation, what we do, is typically the last thing that you have done before you start putting in drywall. That's kind of the last item that gets inspected, and
yeah,
once they check the list and they say, okay, your framing is passed, your plumbing, your electrical, and your insulation have passed, they're done with you.
How many inspections have to be done at that point?
Typically four. Sometimes it might be the same inspector, sometimes it might be different inspectors.
Sure.
We know that plumbing is its own field. Electrical is its own field. Those are
right
licensed trades. So some inspectors might know a lot about plumbing, but they don't know a lot about electrical. So you might have one inspector come out and look at the plumbing, and then an electrical permit inspector to come out and pay attention to the electrical. Sometimes you get guys that are, you know, a little bit of both. They've got background in plumbing and framing. So they'll come out and inspect the framing, inspect the plumbing. So it could be a few different inspections.
Sure.
Throughout the process, which does, you know, people are concerned. They think these inspections could take weeks. And in most cases, once you call for a final plumbing inspection or a final electrical, it's normally within 48 hours. They can get out there pretty quickly, take a look at it, check the box, say that everything is completed.
Sure.
And once you pass those four, the framing, the plumbing, the electrical, and the insulation, they're not going to come back out there again. They don't They don't inspect the finish out or your flooring or your ceiling fans or your drywall or your painting.
Right.
So once they finish that, now you can put in drywall, put down the flooring, shoot in the trim, kind of finish out the space.
And am I correct that most of what you just added on, the things you then after the inspectors come through, those are the unlicensed trades?
Correct.
It's you know, finished carpentry.
Correct.
It's you know, the drywall or whatever.
Unregulated trades. Yes. Okay. You know, obviously the regulated trades are the plumbing, the electrical, and the HV. Plumbing, electrical, and framing. They do include insulation in that. It's not a licensed trade, but it's still included in the permit process because it is so vitally important to ensure that it's done during construction. But there's, you know, there's an order of operation across the board. If you're wanting to put in a new kitchen, a new bathroom, a deck on the back of the house, if you do everything in order, it's a fairly easy process, and you can get done and through it pretty quickly.
Sure.
You do them out of order. You know, for example, I pretty consistently field phone calls from homeowners that say, hey, we're finishing off our attic. We're converting it to living space. Oh, great. Can you come out and give us an insulation estimate? Oh, we'd be more than happy to. Where are you in the process?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Have you already passed your plumbing and electrical? Oh, no, the framing's not done yet.
Yeah.
Then my insulation estimate is worthless. We don't know what to measure. We need to know where the interior walls are, the exterior walls, the gable ceilings, the cathedral vaulted ceilings. Those all have to be insulated with different types of insulation per code.
Okay.
So the framing has to be done before we come out and take measurements for insulation. Otherwise, we're ballparking it. So the same with electrical. If you're having an electrician come out and give you a ballpark estimate before the framing is up, he doesn't know how many linear footage of wire is going to be needed.
Right.
How many outlets are going to be needed? What type of amperage is going to be needed? What type of HVAC unit is going to be used?
Sure.
So do everything in order, and it's a very easy process. That's why a lot of people bring in GCs. They don't know what order to do things in, so they rely on the GC to sub all these guys out, bring them in order, so the process is smooth. Rhonda does. Rhonda Benby Plummer. She's a very good GC.
A general contractor.
Yes.
Whether she's picking up a hammer or not, she is making those phone calls and getting the trades out.
That's really what a GC is. The GC is not in there swinging the hammer in most cases. The GC is the guy. He's the head coach.
Right.
It's his job to coordinate all the different trades, work them in so they're not stepping on each other. It's just about really coordination and having the contacts to be able to do that.
Right. This must have come up. It must come up all the time.
A lot.
With you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have mentioned it.
Yeah.
What are people trying to do?
Most of the time, it's additions or it is sometimes even new construction. You know, we have a lot of customers that reach out and they say, hey, we need an insulation estimate. Okay, no problem. You know, is the house framed in yet? And they say, no, we just want to email you blueprints. Okay, so here's the problem with that. 20 years I've been doing insulation. You would not believe how often plans change in the middle of the build. Okay, pretty consistently, they add on another room or they add on another bathroom or they add on a second floor to the house, whatever it is. Changes happen often in the process of a build, which is why normally you don't write up estimates until the framing is done. When the framing is done, it's going to cost them a fortune to tear all the frame down and redo it. So that's a pretty good stage. Okay, now the framing is done. We'll come in and measure everything and get you accurate estimates. So I have these conversations with homeowners that say, well, we're building a house in 4 months. And I'm like, okay, my estimate is worthless. Our prices are not going to be good 4 months out.
Yeah.
So we would have to re-up all the money anyway. So if you try to do an estimate off of blueprints, we probably have, I don't know, 30 to 40 customers a week that will call us and say, I'd like to email you blueprints. Can you give me a price?
Really? That many?
It takes, I don't know, hour and a half in most cases to look at the blueprints, work up an estimate based on the square footage, and get that sent out. Statistically speaking, we sell one out of 40. Because most homeowners or builders, they send that out to 20 insulation companies. Hey, here's my blueprint. Send me an estimate. So they go with, well, in most cases, whatever the cheapest option is.
Yeah.
So we have to tell homeowners, we don't work up blueprint estimates for free. We charge $250 to work up a blueprint estimate, and that is applied to the contract price. So if you subsequently sign a contract with us, that will be deducted off of the contract price.
That's good.
And the feedback we get from most people are like, God, you're the 10th person that's told me that. I'm like, yeah, the industry is catching on. You can't just, I'm going to send this out to 30 people and see who responds. It doesn't work that way.
A 30,000 square foot home.
30,000. Wow, that's a big house.
There's no dollar figure on what the insulation is going to cost.
Well,
I mean, in other words, I can't give you the size of my house.
Yeah.
Which is 800 square foot, by the way. I can't give you, and we actually have to open closed drawers on one side of the kitchen in order to open them on the other side. It's that tight. But you can't tell me going into it just from the square footage how much it's going to cost.
I mean, I've been doing this long enough, I can pretty much eyeball a property after the framing has been done and get you a pretty close ballpark.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had homeowners that build a 1,200-square-foot house, ranch, just a little 1,200-square-foot ranch.
Yeah.
And they want us to give them an estimate, and we, you know, try to shoot them a ballpark estimate. And
yeah.
The framing is done, and we finally go out there, and they've got 12-foot walls instead of 8-foot walls.
Right.
And they're shocked that the price of the insulation is higher. And I'm like, well, you didn't tell us you were framing in a 12-foot ceiling. So that's why it's so important to have the framing completed, because you could make minor changes. We decided we don't want 8-foot ceilings, we want 9-foot.
Yeah.
Well, the exterior perimeter of your home is 2,200 square feet. You just added another foot. So that's going to add maybe another 2,000 square feet of insulation needed. So these are all variables to consider.
Right.
And that's just from the insulation side. Don't even get me started on the plumbers. These poor guys go in way before they're supposed to because they get called in out of order.
Sure.
So it kind of affects everybody across the board. But that's why it's important as a homeowner to know. If you don't know the order of process to do things, I would highly recommend reaching out to somebody that does, because it's going to make your life a lot easier.
All right. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier clearly wanted to talk about this because he's getting those 40 phone calls every month or every week. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's getting phone calls from people who are trying to really eyeball it and force the order of operations to be different.
They want to know how much money they're going to spend before they start the project.
I don't blame them.
I get it.
All right. Making Your Home Great. We're going to continue with Brock in just a little bit. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here. And are you good with that topic, or are you have you gotten it out of your system?
Any topic is a good topic on this show. Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, that's fine. I mean, the things you do are insulation.
Mm-hmm.
You do encapsulating crawl space.
We sure do.
You do maintenance of things like radon in the crawl space.
Radon and dehumidifiers and sump pumps, basins. We do general maintenance across the board. Yes, sir.
Right. Right. And of course, the encapsulated crawl space, which is a big deal. I want to tell you, I saw a, a van the other day. I was driving in the Greenville area, and I noticed this truck. It says encapsulated crawl spaces, and I'm like, well, that's cool. Find out the name of this company. I asked Brock about it, and it was a pest control company. It was a pest, and it had started out as a pest control company. So it was still Bug Be Gone, or something similar to that. But now they'll encapsulate crawl spaces.
They try, yes.
They try.
They attempt to.
Explain me the difference between trying and actually accomplishing.
Doing it correctly.
Yeah.
So the bug companies are, did I lose my mic again? Are we still good?
You did. So the bug companies are what?
Yeah, so the bug companies are, they're under people's houses. They're
Let's try it one more time.
All right, let's try
bug it. Companies are underneath people's houses. And let me just tell you, on this show, decades ago, I mean, you know, we're going back to the 50s. We had a guy who was a bug expert. And the bug expert came in and he said, I got a little thing called a hygrometer.
Right.
And he says, I put that on the wood, always underneath, because there are some conditions that are good for bugs, and high humidity is one of them.
Yeah, with high humidity comes high moisture.
Right.
You can hear me on this, Mike?
Yes, I can, yeah.
With high humidity comes high moisture, and that's normally where the termites can cause problems, which is why there's so many, bug companies that go under the house in the crawl space and pay very close attention to the environment down there. Now, I understand their logic, okay? The bug company's logic is they're out here because the crawl space has too much moisture.
Yeah.
So they want to be able to offer their homeowners solutions and options to be able to correct that, because that's going to be the contributing factor on why they have termites or other bugs.
Okay.
However, insulation... encapsulation of crawl spaces. These are like these guys that we have come in to do this work. These are like hardcore contractors.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is custom. You have to know how to use Ramset, properly mount to masonry wall, cut edges, tape the seams, ensure that the drainage for the dehumidifiers run properly.
Right.
Install sump pumps, basins, French drains, radon mitigation systems, depending on the environment under the home. That comes with 20 years of experience.
And you're not really overblowing it.
No.
You're not saying, well, you know, what I do is really complicated, guys. You know, be careful. You know it's complicated because you go through the training.
Yeah. It's not easy for it to be done correctly. There a lot of knowledge has to go into being able to properly encapsulate. It's not just code. And there are codes. Now, I'm not throwing any names out there, but I have yet to find a bug company that encapsulated a crawl space that pulled a permit.
Oh, man.
So when you encapsulate a crawl space, that's a capital gain improvement. So you're actually issued a capital gain affidavit. You also have to pull building permits, normally with either a mechanical or an electrical permit tied in. So, and 20 years now, I've yet to find a bug company that pulled a permit, which tells me that they're not doing these per code.
Wow.
Now, that being said, you do not want me coming out to your house and spraying for bugs. That is not my industry. I am not going to be very effective at that. I struggle to keep bugs away from my own house.
What? Lots of different chemicals you got to know.
I'm sure there's lots of things you need to know to do that properly.
Yeah.
And I'm just not the guy.
Okay.
So I would tell you, if you were going to spend the money to have somebody come in and do your crawl space, I would recommend bringing in somebody that specializes in that, like you would want to bring in a bug company that specializes in bugs.
We bring this up an awful lot on the program because there's, honestly, if I went down underneath a house and I took a look at what you'd done, I probably could pretend to do it also. Mm-hmm. I'd do it poorly, but, you know, I can see a construction guy crawling underneath one of Brock's houses and saying, yeah, that ain't hard. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can figure that out.
You know, it happens more often than you would think.
Yeah.
The last time it happened, and it does, we probably get it 3, 4, 5 times a year that we have a homeowner that, you know, hey, can you guys just do this and this? I'm going to do the rest of it. And we're more than happy to help. We'll tell them, absolutely, we'll lay down your plastic. You know, we'll hook up the dehumidifier for you, but you can pull all your old insulation out of the crawl space and bag it up and take it down to the dump. That saves you some money. And
sure.
Really trying to get it down as cheap as possible. We're willing to help any way we can. I have yet to have a homeowner complete the task in which they took to try to drop the price. Most of them will get about a quarter to half of the insulation out and flat give up.
It's just disgusting.
And when we get out there, they're like, out. I've changed my mind. I've already removed half of it. Please remove the other half for me.
My hands itch. They itch. I'm pulling down this pink stuff.
Yeah.
And it just gets into my skin. Yeah, I can imagine that.
But that's why our installers are paid so well.
Sure.
I mean, our installers make a very good deal amount of money because it's not just how difficult is the job, it's how difficult is the environment in which you're trying to do your job.
But even from the technical aspect,
right,
you have to assess what kind of encapsulation this person really needs.
Correct.
Right. All right. We got to take a quick break for news. We'll be back with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. If you've got a question, our phone is absolutely at your command. I'll give the number in just a moment. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. Making your home great on the radio with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Okay, so we're talking about bug companies helping themselves to a little, you know, they're in your lane. They're in your lane. You want to say, hey, buddy.
A little bit. Swerving.
Yeah. Get in your lane, buddies. What would be the actual difference? What have you found is the difference between, say, a project that a bug company did and a project Triangle Radiant Barrier did?
Ability and quality of materials in most cases.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. The most common foam insulation you use in a crawl space is foam board.
Yeah.
Now, you install foam board by using .22 caliber ramsets, okay, which is essentially a nail gun.
Sure.
Shoots it into the block. You don't do that with single brick. Okay, so when we run into single brick foundations,
yeah,
we offer spray foam because there's no structural damage caused to the masonry.
You really will punch through the foundation, won't you?
You can, well, when you're using a ramset, okay, you can shoot it into cinder block and it's going to punch a hole and it's going to hold. You can shoot it into brick and the brick can crack and fracture.
Yeah.
And I've seen people try to shoot them into the mortar joints, and that cracks the mortar joint out, and now there's a water penetration coming through.
Sure.
So we offer and only offer spray foam options for single brick foundation. Now, we can do that because we're an insulation company.
Yeah.
We have lots of different options. The bug guys can't drive down to Home Depot and buy spray foam. That equipment is $250,000. So, but they can buy foam board.
Okay.
So I've been into several with single brick foundations that had developed water problems. And under further investigation, it was due to the fact it had been ramset into a brick and the brick fractured and was letting in water.
Sure.
So, you know, to answer your question, where we would have gone differently is we just would have informed the homeowner that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And because of that, I don't think we should go with foam board. I think we should do spray foam, which, by the way, is cheaper. It's actually a cheaper cost to do spray foam than mount foam board.
Yeah.
Okay, less labor is involved. It's very quick to do spray foam. Foam board takes all day, okay, with two guys.
Yeah.
So it's cheaper, but we have that as an option because we do insulation. The bug companies don't do insulation, so they can only buy whatever materials they can pick up at the warehouse down the road, and that's only foam board. So that's just one example of many, and I'm not going to dig that far into it.
Yeah.
They lay down really good plastic. I've been in lots of crawl spaces. They've done an excellent job laying down the plastic.
Oh, good.
But the drainage, the sump pumps, the basins, the dehumidifiers, how they have them drained, it's pretty apparent that they weren't worried about a code inspector coming in.
Yeah.
Which, again, gets back to the fact I've yet to find any that have actually pulled a permit. So it's just about quality, knowledge, and quality of materials. And I think if you were to ask a bug guy, why do I not want Brock to come in and spray for bugs?
Yeah.
He'd say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't use the right chemicals. He doesn't have the background to do this work. And they'd be correct. They'd be right.
Yeah. Well, it's a scary thought. We talk on this show a little bit about finding somebody who does that project all the time. And if you pay attention to the people who are on the show, they do the project they do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very few, you know, Rhonda's a good example. She's a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do some things a lot and some things, you know, occasionally, but she's got talent in all those areas. She's not trying to kill the bugs underneath your house.
No.
It's just not her expertise.
Yeah, her specialty is interior design, and she is very good at what she does.
Right.
But she knows enough about this industry to know that she needs to have an insulation guy, a plumber, a framer, a drywaller, a painter. She can design it all, but she brings in the pros in these categories to ensure that it's done properly.
Right. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here on Making Your Home Great. We have an archived show next hour, so about 20 minutes from now, we'll be on tape.
Yay.
It'll be you and I. You know, we're going to enjoy a little bit of our Easter weekend. But, you know, between now and then, you want to call us up, please do so, 860-9783. That's 919-860-9783 at Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, Making Your Home Great with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier.
What do you think about this pollen that we have this year? I swear I slipped nearly walking off my porch today. It's like light snowfall of pollen.
Yep. And I would imagine that there's some issue with HVAC and pollen getting in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is the time of year you're cleaning your filters quite often, or at least having them replaced.
We have the most unusual weather where we will have pollen storms that sit over the city for a week.
Just driving down the street and you just see wind and the pollen going across. It's like, God, I cannot believe I'm not sneezing now.
And I think that's what has affected me. My entire life I've never had this. And now I just sound, my voice has dropped like Kathleen Turner, like I'm a heavy smoker, and I'm not, you know. It's just the way I sound.
I think we're going to have weird weather this year. I think we're getting kind of an unusual start to spring. I had stuff, you know, blooming in my yard in February, which is a little out of the norm.
Yes.
So I think we're going to be in for a hot summer.
You think so?
Yeah, this happened 5-6 years ago. We had an unusually warm February where stuff started blooming, and that was a very warm summer.
And that means that the phone will ring.
Oh, yeah.
And people will want you to go to their attic and put in the radiant barrier.
You know, I gotta hand it to our listeners.
Yeah.
They have been listening very well.
Yeah.
In the last 2 or 3 months, we've had a influx of radio listeners that reached out that want to get their attic insulated before the heat hits this year.
Great idea.
So my guys are all very thankful that they're able to work in an attic that's 60 degrees, not 140. So we are very appreciative that our listeners are getting early start to the year and getting the installation done. And this is why it's so important, okay? Yeah. I'll explain it, why this is so important. Our installers get paid a salary per day. They do not get paid by the hour. They do not get paid by the square foot. Okay, so they're daily salaried employees.
Okay.
An insulation, if you have a 1,500 square foot house that needs radiant barrier or blown in insulation.
Sure.
Right now, that's a 1 or a 2 day install because we can work until 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Once June, July, August rolls around, that 2 day install is a 3 day install. Well, yeah. That means the guys have to get paid their labor for that third day.
Yeah, where's that going to come from?
So it gets more expensive to insulate your house when you get into the summer months because it's going to take longer. We have to pull these guys out of the attic at noon instead of being able to work till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So if you know you need to get insulation this season, guys, the cool is about out. We've got another week or two of cool weather, so now might be the chance to get it in. Get it done as cheap as possible,
right?
And get it done before the summer heat hits you this year.
And again, this is an example of an area where a fella could just, I'm just going to get the pink foam. I'm going to get or the pink rolled insulation. I'm going to take over for Brock. It's easy. Any fool can put up. You know,
insulation,
batted insulation.
Yeah.
Except that knowing what kind of insulation you need is a skill and an experience.
Yeah, it's always in it. Well, first of all, if they do blown in, they need a machine, right? You got to have a blown in machine to be able to blow in insulation.
Sure.
So, as a homeowner, normally your option is doing batted insulation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got a 1,200 square foot house.
Yeah.
The amount of batted insulation that it's going to take to do a 1,200 square foot house is going to fill up a 14 foot trailer, a box trailer. Okay, now you need to manually pick all that up and carry it through your house, carry it up the ladder into your attic, and lay it down on the floor.
Yeah.
So very few people think insulation is an easy task, which is why so many builders call me. So many GCs call me.
Oh, really?
If insulation was easy, they'd be doing it themselves. No, they don't want to do it. It's not easy. It's not fun. Yeah. It is in a new construction because in most cases, you just carry it in and all the walls are already down. You put it up in the walls. It's fairly simple. But even then, it's exhausting.
Right.
You might have 9-foot walls. So you got to go up the ladder every bay to put the insulation in. So it's not fun.
And if you're working in the attic, and it's June, the temperature could be 120.
More, yeah.
More?
Yeah, it'll get up in the 130s, 140s pretty easily.
I mean, your fresh cup of coffee is going to taste cold.
Right.
If you're up in an attic like that.
Right. Now, there's little tricks. Some insulation companies to work longer days will disconnect a duct in the attic. So when you're running the air conditioner, you're blowing cooler air in the attic. It doesn't really work that well. And unfortunately, now you have to rely on somebody to reconnect the duct and it be done properly.
Yeah.
Right? That's, so we don't do that. We don't want to cause any damage to the customer's home. We don't want to cause any damage to the customer's duct work. So,
right.
And we obviously don't want to cause damage to our installers. It's very important that they maintain their health and they're not working in an environment that's dangerous.
Sure.
Once it goes over 110, you really need to get pulled out of the attic.
Yeah.
And in August, that's 11 a.m.
I think that I did a project in a bonus room once, and it was at least that hot. And, I was putting in the insulation to put these channels in and then put the rolled insulation, and it was miserable. It was made more miserable by the fact that I had a saw up there and an air conditioner in the window.
Right.
But it was on an under, I don't know what the technical term is. If I used one tool and the other one was on, we'd shut the breaker down.
Oh, yeah, it was a trip.
trip
right,
out.
Right, it would trip out, and then they have to go downstairs around the house. Which, you know, you would think a person could learn that, no, you got to turn the air conditioner off, you're going to run the saw.
Oh, well.
No, but apparently not.
Comes with experience.
It does. But that's a miserable experience.
It's not that fun. And, you know, anybody who's ever done insulation knows that it gets in your skin. And, you know,
it
causes irritation and it's real itchy. And, you know, obviously all my guys who've been doing this for years know this. But if you ever have insulation on your skin, your arms, your forearms, whatever, you know, you never wash that off with hot water.
Really?
Hot water opens your pores.
Oh,
when your pores are open, you get little bits of fiberglass and more irritation. Anytime you have insulation on you, you take a very cold shower and your pores close, and you can literally use a loofah or a wash rag and just wipe the fiberglass right off of you. My father taught me that trick because he's worked with Owens Corning Insulation out of Waxahachie, Texas for 20-plus years. And he's the one that enlightened me on that many years ago, and my guys have been very thankful that knowledge was passed over.
We should mention, we haven't done this in a while. How did you get started in working in construction?
Honest story, I was a mechanic. I was an auto mechanic.
Yeah.
And I was a pretty good auto mechanic. I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
Management shifted at the auto mechanic place that I worked with, and I was not a big fan of the new incoming management.
Yes.
So I elected to get out of the industry and try to focus on something else.
It's funny because I don't know any industry that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You should be around when management changes in radio. They come in, they say, "Boys, we're going disco at midnight." And
I was pretty young when somebody a long time ago gave me good advice that I followed my whole life. When it comes to a job, it has to be the big three. You have to like your boss, you have to like your job, and you have to be able to tolerate the pay. If any of those don't work out, you're not going to be there long. You can love the pay, love the job. If you hate your boss, you're gone.
Yep.
So you have to have the big three to be able to be there long term. And when one of the big three fell out, I could not deal with the management they brought in. I said, I'm going to switch industries. Now, I had a buddy at the time who was working for an insulation company, and they needed an installer. So I started my career being an installer, actually putting it in and installing radiant barrier, installing fiberglass. But I knew a long time ago that if I wanted to excel past that, I needed to learn about everything else. So I started learning about manufacturers and different types of insulations and moved into sales, learned the sales side, learned the install side. Now I had enough information, I could open up my own company.
Right.
And from there, it's just about building reputation and doing a good job and doing it for an honest rate.
And how long was this, how long was the learning curve for insulation? I mean, you have to know some specific things.
Yeah, I was an installer for probably, I want to say somewhere between 2.5 and 4 years.
Okay.
I jumped into sales, and it was a fairly easy transition. Once you've installed it, it's very easy to talk to people about what it is and where it comes from and why it's installed that way. And
right.
You don't come across as a sales guy. You come across as somebody with on-hand knowledge,
right?
Which is how we've tried to approach sales since then. We don't pressure sales. It's just about educating the homeowner and making sure that they have all the facts. But to answer your question, I would say it took a few years of installing it, an additional couple of years of selling it before we decided to break off and open up our own business and go from there.
Right. And what were the challenges in starting your own business?
Doing things in order.
Do you really?
As we started the show today, we learned a lot of hard lessons, you know. There's a lot of doctors out there that are brilliant doctors.
Yes.
But if they want to open up their own medical practice, they don't necessarily have the right skill set to be able to manage staff.
Right.
So there, even though my partners and I had lots of knowledge when it came to insulation and how to have it installed, you know, like many companies, we learned a lot of hard lessons over the years in managing customers, managing installers, making sure that we were always led by integrity and honesty. And So, going back, of course, we would do things in a different order, so it didn't set us back, you know, as much as it did. But other than that, I think any lesson we learned was a good one, and one that we're happy we learned.
So how long has a triangle radiant barrier been in existence in North Carolina?
Since 2016. We opened up the company here in 2016. The first 2 to 3 years we were here, we were doing installs for virtually cost. Just to build our client base and build our reputation. So we started turning profit 3 or 4 years after we had been here, and since then everything has been moving at an upward trajectory. So we're happy. Our customers seem to be happy. The feedback that we get from our clients, or we were honest with them. We did it for a fair price. And when the job was done, we didn't disappear. We keep in contact with our homeowners and make sure everything is still working properly, remind them to inspect their sensors and make sure that they know what's going on at their house. So we try to do the best we can to treat everybody with a certain level of respect.
That's good. Let's talk about the thing we alluded to earlier, which was radon detectors.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, people were talking about radon, and everybody thought it was a comedy.
Right.
You know, and then they said, no, this will make you sick.
Yeah, it will. Now they test every time a house is sold in North Carolina. They come in and they do a radon test. So the majority of the radon jobs we do are for homes that have just been sold. The other homeowner had lived there for 10, 15 years. They weren't doing radon tests back then.
Sure.
They put the house up for sale. Somebody comes in, does a radon test, says, oh, you got high elevated radon content. And then we get a phone call from that new home buyer that says, this is what came up in the inspection report. We want to take steps to get this corrected.
Right. And this is a naturally occurring gas.
Right. From the soil.
Which comes up from the soil. Mm-hmm. Now, when you are remediating moisture in the crawl space, does that automatically get rid of the radon?
No. Unfortunately, not. Moisture is very easily remediated with a dehumidifier, but a dehumidifier does not filter radon. Radon specifically needs to be filtered out of the crawl space. So, when you do a radon mitigation system, you install essentially a perforated pipe under the plastic in the crawl space. That's why it's so important to have all your tape, all the plastic taped up, so it's sealed very well.
Sure.
And that perforated pipe has a fan connected to it that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And it pulls air from under the plastic into the pipe, through the pipe to the fan, and the fan then punches it outside.
Right.
And that pipe, once it gets outside, has to go up vertically, the facing of the wall, and above your gutter. That is how it is done per code.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many times I've seen a radon fan where they stopped it right at the soffit vent. And I said, what you're doing is you're pulling radon out of the crawl space and then putting it up in your attic. No, you have to go above the gutter so it doesn't work its way back into the house.
Yeah.
Again, that's a code requirement. So if you're pulling permits and doing it as it should be permitted, you would know that.
Yes. I would have just vented out to the outside, because I don't live outside.
Yeah, we see that a lot. And then they open the window in their kitchen right above where it's vented out. Those are the things you just don't think about, because you're not in the industry. You don't see it every day. That's why it's important to bring in guys that specialize in that type of stuff. They can guide you in the right direction.
You know, I've got this dream of, like on Star Trek, a single machine which will tell me relative humidity in the crawl space, temperature in the attic, radon by percentage, and you know,
that's brilliant.
What the trend is. I want all these things taken care of.
Yeah, that would be great.
Are we close?
Oh yeah. One exists.
And there's a radon
sensor.
Sensor that's a live thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is what I recommend to all homeowners in the Triangle is get onto Google, look up something called the Air Things, A-I-R, like you're breathing the air, Things House Monitoring Kit. They're going to run you about $300-$400 on Amazon.
Yeah.
But there's multiple sensors. You get one in the attic, one in the crawl space, one in the living space, and it monitors mold content, radon, indoor air quality, humidity, moisture, temperature.
Sure.
They're brilliant. And they sync up to your phone. So you can be at lunch and get an emergency message that says, hey, there's high radon content in the house. You know, that's important to know now and not figure it out after the fact.
I don't know. My wife would look at that all day. She would just go, look at the radon.
The tech guys love them.
They do.
All the tech guys that are customers of ours, they get one every time.
Very good. All right. How do we contact you?
You can always reach us at our website at triangleradiantbarrier.com, or you can reach our line at 919-986-8808.
And he's Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, and this is Making Your Home Great on WPTF.